The 82-game preseason is in the books, and it's finally time for the real season. Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered with same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code Ross. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code Ross, only on DraftKings. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/football for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
You're listening to DraftKings Network.
You're tuned in to the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, guiding your gridiron journey, none other than your host, former NFL lineman, Ross Tucker.
Oh, yeah, it is. But it's not just any Ross Tucker Football Podcast. It is a teaching tutorial Thursday, presented, of course, by DraftKings. That means class is in session with the one and only civilian GOAT, Greg Cosell from NFL Films. Can't wait to talk about the rest of these quarterbacks with Greg. Been dying to get his thoughts on some of these guys. That is coming to you momentarily. As I realize right now, I totally forgot to have a spread the word winner via social media, either at Ross Tucker NFL or at Ross Tucker Pod, a sponsor confirmation, email winner. That's typically someone that's going to go ahead and takes advantage of any of our sponsors and then emails me after they do so, ross@rosstucker.com, or the YouTube shout out, youtube.com/rosstuckernfl. My bad on that, on not getting a chance to do any of those winners yet. I will try to do that for Monday if I can. Love all of you that do any of those things. Spread the word via social, take advantage of our sponsors, comment on any of the YouTube videos, youtube.com/RossTuckerNFL. Our patron of the day is Alex McDonald. Welcome to the family, Alex. Patreon.com/RTMedia. It's big show time. It's Greg Cosell time.
The big show.
All right, Greg. I've been waiting for a week now. I'm kind of dying to and curious to see which guy is next up on your list. Of course, I'm talking with the great Greg Cosell. I affectionately call him the civilian GOAT, the NFL Films legend. I think most of you follow him on social media. If you don't, you should, at Greg Cosell, because that way you know what Greg's up to all the time, and you can see the clips of this show and others. Of course, I probably told you earlier, but I'm at Ross Tucker NFL. We are at Ross Tucker Pod on social. A lot of people like to watch Greg on YouTube, youtube.com/RossTuckerNFL. Last week, Greg, we started the draft series, and you had great stuff on Caleb Williams, on Drake May, on Jaden Daniels. Now we're kind of into the next group of quarterbacks. Now, I guess I want to start with that, because when you see mock drafts, when you see other people's rankings, it seems like the next quarterback is usually J.J. McCarthy, and that they have him as a first-round pick, maybe top half of the first round. And I'm curious, you know, when we talked last week, you said, let's talk Williams, Daniels, and May. You didn't say, let's talk McCarthy. We saved McCarthy for this week. So is he a notch below in your mind? Is he even the best of the rest in your mind?
Well, I just want to preface what we're going to do here with the idea that now, with all quarterbacks, I mean, and there's very few that are truly viewed as transcendent, okay? So now you get into how different people evaluate quarterbacks what, you know, there might be 15 traits that everybody has on a list, Ross, but it's what value do you ascribe to those traits? And different evaluators, different coaches will ascribe different value to those sets of traits. So someone could look at Drake May, you know, we did him last week, and say, man, I love Drake May because here are the four things that he does that I love. And that supersedes, you know, what I spoke about last week with the drifting in the pocket, you know, those things. Someone could look at now these guys we're going to talk about today who are not necessarily, they're not transcendent. They do have weaknesses that are clearly defined, but it depends how you see them, what trait, what value you ascribe to traits, and how they fit into your offense and how you teach the position and coach your offense. So I think people need to understand that this is not a mathematical equation. You know, guys have strengths, guys have concerns, and how does that all work out in the NFL based on the coach and the team? So it's not, you know, saying two and two is four here. I just, you know, I think that's an important thing to say.
And by the way, Greg, that is every position and every coach.
Yep.
People don't realize that, right? Mm-hmm. Like, there are some offensive line coaches, they highly value arm length or they highly value athleticism. There are others that put more of a premium on football intelligence and toughness. You right. know, I think that's a really interesting point because you're right. With quarterbacks, there's a bunch. And, you know, you'll hear sometimes, Greg, they'll talk about, you know, second reaction plays and all that stuff. But then there's other guys that's not something they highly value. They highly value guys hitting their back foot and getting the ball out on time.
Yeah.
Because as you always say, you don't call in the huddle, second reaction on two, ready? Break.
Right.
Like, that's not what the coaches are doing here.
Right. So, you know, I just thought it was important to sort of say that because, you know, a lot of people when I talk, in addition to others who do evaluations, they think, you know, it's a black and white thing. Oh, well, you hate this guy. You know, oh, you love this guy. Yeah. There's so many variables here. So I'm just, you know, watching the tape. So this gets to McCarthy, okay? The first name you mentioned, who a lot of people do have, as I see in mocks by people you and I would respect greatly. I would view McCarthy more as a developmental prospect. And I think he's got some clear concerns. You know, I think that playing at Michigan and playing their style of offense, he was an efficient system player. I don't think he has any special throwing ability. He does have good athleticism. He certainly can play extend. I don't know if he's a play creator. He can extend and he can run for a first down, no question. So I think that there'll be legitimate questions about his ability to function effectively in muddied and noisy pockets with bodies around him. He did not really show on tape the kind of pocket movement you'd like to see to navigate and reset. He's not an off-platform thrower. I don't think his arm is real strong. You know, I think that at times he labored to drive the ball. The ball does not really jump off his hand. Just based on film, okay, I did not see him as a first-round type player in terms of just traits and talent. The other thing that really stood out to me is watching the number of games I did with Michigan and their offense, because they have a lot of players, is the number of times, and again, I don't know what this means, but the number of times on third and long in games that were, you know, first half of games, not when they were up, you know, 50-10, where the coaching staff took the ball out of his hands, Ross. They didn't have him throw it. Or if they did, it was a screen. So, you know, they were not really asking him a lot to make throws in third and long situations. And that always stands out to me when I watch tape.
That's really interesting. Really interesting. What do you think about him in that offense, Greg? Because there are some that will say, listen, they didn't throw the ball one time in the second half against Penn State. Like, they didn't want him to throw the ball.
Yeah,
you know,
true.
Blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
And they use that as a knock. But then there's the flip side of, well, he can do what the other guys do. You know, he just didn't throw it that much because Harbaugh likes to run it. Like, which one is it? Is it somewhere in between?
Well, You know, I don't know if that's a factor for me, because when you watch nine games, I'm still seeing 250 dropbacks. And I watched him last summer, too, from 2022. So I'm still seeing a ton of dropbacks, Ross. So, you know, obviously you can look at their offense, and we know the Harbaugh approach, and he wants to run the ball and be physical, and they had two really good backs and a real good O-line. But you're still watching the quarterback. You're still seeing what it is that he can do and what he can't do. He's not a high-level arm talent guy. He needs his entire body to really drive the ball with juice. He needs that firm base. You know, he's, I don't think, you know, talent-wise, again, and you don't have to have a Matthew Stafford gun to be a good quarterback. We know that. But I think talent-wise, you'd have some concerns about him.
So what do you think it is, Greg, that people like about him? Like what, why? I mean, obviously there's people that have him ranked really high and really believe in him.
I'm not going to be sarcastic here, so I hope people don't take it that way. But I think there's a couple of things. I know this from talking to scouts. I've been doing this a long time. I know a lot of people. The M on his helmet is a big deal. And the fact that he wins, you know, I can't tell you how many times when I talk to scouts, I hear, well, he's a winner. And I don't focus on that as much as others, because to me, there's so many reasons why that's the case for quarterbacks, particularly in college football.
That's really interesting. I think there's no question in my mind, Greg, that he's getting a boost, right or wrong, because of how much winning they've done at Michigan with him there.
He just won a national championship.
Yep. And I think, you know, that's going to be one, Greg, where the people, like whoever drafts him, they're going to talk a lot about his intangibles. They're going to talk about his leadership. They're going to talk about the type of kid he is, the guy he is,
the
work ethic.
By the way, from what I've heard from someone who knows him well and actually coached against him in high school, I've heard those things are all really high-level positive.
Right. That seems to be the consensus.
Yeah.
Is him as a young man.
By the
and
way,
how
that
he...
means something. I don't want to act like that doesn't mean anything. That absolutely means something.
It does. It does, Greg, but you can't see that from the coaching tape.
But I will say this, Ross, before we move on. Those things are not the reason you can make a throw on 3rd and 9 in the fourth quarter. Those are not that's not the reason those throws happen.
Right. And in fairness to you, you got to go by what you see on the tape. Like,
right.
It's like I said this a couple weeks ago about Jalen Hurts. When people are now saying that Jalen Hurts isn't a great leader, when there's him before he was. Like, how do you know? Based on what the TV copy might show you for 3 seconds and his body language on the bench? Like, the same, you know, the
couldn't
same guy,
more.
Greg, the year before, where they're like, look at him. He's stone-faced. He is locked in. Now it's, he's not talking to his teammates. He's not doing this because they're losing games. Like,
right.
It's the same thing. He's the same guy.
No, and you know me, so you don't ask me these questions. But if I choose to do a show, you know, with someone I don't do stuff with often, and they say to me, well, is he a great leader? I say, there's no possible way I could know that. You'd have to be with someone every day in the locker room to know that. I can't answer that question.
All right, let's answer the next question. Which is, who would be kind of the, that was a long time on J.J. McCarthy, but yeah. That was good stuff. Who's the next guy in your mind, Greg, or who's the next guy you want to talk about? Is it Bo Nix? Is it Penix? Penix was really interesting to me watching him in the playoffs, for sure.
All right, so let's stay with Penix. Penix is a fascinating guy because, you know, he's essentially a pocket quarterback, Ross. And now, again, I don't think he's a statue and that he can't move at all. And we did see C.J. Stroud come in the league and show a lot better movement than some may have thought he had. I actually thought that he could do that based on a really careful study of him last year. So I'm not going to sit here and say Penix can't move. But he's essentially a pocket quarterback. The big question for me with Penix, and by the way, he throws the intermediate and deep ball probably better than any quarterback in this class. I mean, there are wow throws with Penix, you know, precise ball location down the field. I mean, really impressive throws. But the concern for me, and I think we saw a little bit against Michigan, but it's also was also present, you know, again, another guy I watched last summer from 2022 and a ton from this year, is the concern with him is when there's people around him. I think that his efficiency drops significantly. And, you know, for those kinds of quarterbacks, and I don't want to make a direct comparison to Tua Tagovailoa, but I think there's a similarity in that regard, is that if you start to get a little later in the down and you can't play with precise timing and there's people around you now, and you have to stay in the pocket, you know, I think that there's a decrease in efficiency and ball placement and just in what you see. And I think we all agree that that was one thing that we noticed with Tua these last couple of years. And I think the same thing is kind of true with Penix. Penix has a bigger arm than Tua and can make more downfield throws. And again, I want to get off that comparison because it's not apples to apples. But Penix is a really good thrower at the intermediate and vertical ranges. And they did that a lot with that offense. That Washington offense really attacked. And by the way, their OC is now the OC for the Seattle Seahawks, just as an aside. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, what Seattle's offense looks like. But the point is Penix can really throw the ball. And when he's clean and comfortable, you know, it looks really good.
Two thoughts there, Greg. One would be, isn't every quarterback less efficient when it's a muddied pocket, number one? And then number two,
some handle it better than others, as you know, Ross.
Yep. And then number two would be, isn't it then the coach's job, like what Mike McDaniel's done with Tua, to figure out a way to get rid of the ball quickly? And although what's weird is you're saying he's so good intermediate and deep. Well, tough to throw intermediate and deep if you're getting rid of the ball quickly. You got to hold on to it a little bit longer.
Yeah, there's a little bit of a dichotomy there between, you know, quick game, short game, and then throwing the ball deep. You're right. But so Penix is a fascinating guy. My sense is, and I would agree with what I've seen from people I respect, I don't think he'll be a first-round pick because I think that people will feel that in this era, in today's NFL, where quarterback movement and second reaction, you know, playing the term I hear a lot, playing above the X's and O's, you probably heard that term. I don't know if people will think he can do that at a meaningful enough level and that he's essentially going to be very scheme-specific because he's a pocket player.
Well, and you combine that with the injury history, that's rough. Yeah. It's unfortunate, but it's rough. Especially when he was at Indiana, Greg, he actually could run. Like, you know, he was actually a pretty good athlete. I remember that Penn State game a while ago.
Yeah, but okay. I think he's had two ACLs. He's had a shoulder surgery. I mean, yeah, there'll be a concern there. But thankfully, he played the last 2 years at Washington without any injuries.
Yeah, exactly. All right, what about Bo Nix, Greg? Yeah, I get a lot of comments on Bo Nix.
Bo Nix is one of the most fascinating guys I've watched, and I'll tell you why. Because in his 3 years at Auburn, Ross, he looked like he didn't even belong as a college starter, much less a guy we're talking about in the draft. And then he gets to Oregon, and people, of course, will say it's the system. But you know what? Everybody's a system quarterback. And then it depends what system you deploy to maximize the strengths and minimize the limitations of your quarterback. With what he was asked to do in college, there was a decisiveness and efficiency to his game as an executor and a ball distributor. He looked good running that offense. And he's got movement ability. I'm not saying that's, you know, Sean Payton's going to like him. I don't know that. But when I watched Nix, I thought to myself, I think he'd be really good in a Sean Payton offense. You know, that's what I thought, you know, kind of thought. He was very comfortable executing the pass game. He was an easy thrower. He made the right kind of throw to the right receiver at the right time. He does not have a power arm. So it's not like he's, you know, a gun guy. But again, we know you don't need that. That could be an issue for some coaches and evaluators. He can't really drive the ball the way you'd like the ball to be driven. How much that's a factor in his transition. Again, as I've mentioned many times last week and this week, that's going to be coach specific. But the more I watched Bo Nix, the more I liked him. But I think he needs to fit. Like, you know, again, we started this. I prefaced all this by saying, you know, we're not dealing with transcendent guys that can do anything in any system. And I think Nix is a perfect example of that.
Let's get to the last three, because I want to make sure we get, if you got a guy you like between Pratt, Milton, and Rattler. If you only talk about one of those guys, I might hit you up on all three, but who would you talk about?
Well, I think Rattler's fascinating because he's really a higher level arm talent. You know, the way people use that term, easy strength to drive the ball with velocity, can make every throw. He's an effortless thrower. There'll be a lot of people that like him because the traits are clearly there on tape. Came out of high school in Arizona as the number one quarterback recruit in the country. I don't think, though, he has a natural sense of timing and anticipation. And I need to do just a little more work on him because that was kind of niggling around in my brain as I watched him. And I've seen a lot, but I want to just take a look at a couple more things with him. But, you know, that would concern me a little bit. But there's no question that this kid, just from a pure throw the football off balance anyway, any, you know, on the run, this kid is really a big-time arm talent. A compact, explosive delivery. Ball came out with easy velocity. He's effortless as a thrower. He can make big-time throws.
Well, speaking of that, what about Joe Milton, Greg?
Joe Milton is he's a freak as a thrower, but, you know, you watch him enough and you start to think, does he know where it's going? And, you know, that's a little bit of a problem. You know, he'll be very, very polarizing. Yeah, and don't forget, he ran one of the purest versions of the air raid passing game. The emphasis on no huddle, fast tempo, widespread formations, pure progression reads, where the quarterback's really not taught to understand the subtleties and nuances of defenses and coverage. And a high percentage of those throws are predetermined. So he's going to have to really learn. He's going to be introduced. That's a better word. He's going to be introduced to NFL passing game concepts and progressions, and he's going to be introduced to defensive fronts and coverage structures that'll be brand new to him. So that factors in as well. But you're talking about a guy that is just a ridiculous, easy thrower, but just misses too many routine throws.
Yeah, I can't remember it there being a guy that it ended up working out for them with the way you described him, but that'll be interesting. Check him out on social media. He is the man, at Greg Cosell. Absolutely loved talking quarterback with him the last 2 weeks. Next week, we will dive into the wide receivers, thought to be a very good wide receiver class. Looking forward to it. Thank you, Greg.
Thanks, Ross.
Greg is so good. You know what else is so good? Factor. Eating better is easy with Factor's delicious, ready-to-eat meals. Every fresh, never-frozen meal is chef-crafted, dietitian-improved, ready to go in just 2 minutes. I wanted Factor as an advertiser because my wife has been all in on Factor. She wanted to get more veggies in her diet, and she did research on it. Factor's the way to do it. They got Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, Keto, more than 60 add-ons to help you stay fueled up and feeling good all day long. Here's the key. It's fast and it's delicious. She gives me bites of her food all the time. It's legit. That pork chop I had last night, that was really good. A lot of times she can't finish the whole meal because it's pretty good portions. I help her crush it. Listen, they've done the math. Factor is less expensive than takeout, and every meal is dietitian approved to be nutritious and delicious. Head to factormeals.com/RTFP50 and use code RTFP50 to get 50% off. That's code RTFP50 at factormeals.com/RTFP50 to get 50% off. There's a bunch of these in our fridge right now. They are legit. RTFP50 at factormeals.com/RTFP50.
Tux Takes.
All right, Ross. We've got some cuts. The Jags, they cut defensive back Rayshon Jenkins and Darius Williams. Panthers, they let go of tight end Hayden Hurst. Seahawks move on from safeties Quandre Diggs and Jamal Adams, as well as tight end Will Disley. And the Dolphins, they release linebacker Jerome Baker.
And there will be more, Jack. There will be several more, and these are things that we will discuss on Monday's show, because basically the next few days, there'll be more guys getting released. Teams will try to squeeze these guys, some of them, for pay cuts if they can, if they want them back. Some of these teams, they already know they're getting rid of other guys. They're just waiting till the last possible second for whatever reason. I guess it's in case something else, somebody else gets hurt or something happens. They want to keep their options open, I suppose. I don't know. But at any rate, that's what's going on here. These teams are waiting till the last possible second for some of these guys before they release them. Other teams might be trying to squeeze them into pay cuts, but there will be more, and we will talk about it on Monday. There also might be, by Monday, before the tampering period starts, there might be some of these guys, Jack, that actually get signed. You know, maybe it's Chris Jones, maybe it's Cousins, Christian Wilkins, Bryce Huff, Danielle Hunter, Tyron Smith, Michael Onwenu, Jonathan Grenard, Kevin Dotson. I mean, there's some legit free agents out there. We'll see if any of those guys sign before they actually hit the open market over the weekend, where you guys know what I'll be doing. I'll be drinking Labatt Blue Lights with my friend from high school. I'm going to be with my friend from high school. It's a boys' weekend. Yep, yep. Get ready. Always enjoy responsibly. Labatt Blue Light. Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.
The Bills offensive lineman Ryan Bates, they trade him to the Chicago Bears for a fifth-round pick.
Missed opportunity, Jack, for a segue there. You could have been like, speaking of Buffalo, Ross, the Bills traded, like if you were paying attention, you could have
accusing me of my lack of work ethic.
What's that?
I said, are you accusing me of having a lack of work ethic?
No. It has nothing to do with the work ethic. It's just like, how quick can you think on your feet? You didn't know I was going to say Labatt right then. But it could have been a smooth transition. Not everybody can be the master of the segue. They tried to sign him a couple years ago, and the Bills matched it. So they're like, hey, you wanted to sign him? You wanted to get him on this contract? Why don't you take him now? And the Bears said, sure, we will. We need him. I think we're done here.
Thanks for tuning in to the Ross Tucker Football Podcast. Make sure to also check out Even Money, Fantasy Feast, and College Draft, all on the DraftKings Network on Samsung TV Plus, YouTube, or subscribe to the podcast on your favorite platform.
Shout out MyFrontPageStory.com. I'm giving you a signed press pass. If you've ever wanted to see what a press pass looks like, if you ever wanted my autograph, just go ahead and get the coolest gift you could ever get a loved one anyway, especially a parent or a grandparent, at myfrontpagestory.com. We also love steakhousesports.com, backofficeschedule.com, humanheadnyc.com, sporticulture, Pizza Boy Brewing.